Today is the 29th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it's great to be here with you. Grateful to be here with you today, like every day. How's it going? Things are going okay here in the rolling hills of Tennessee. Very, very green, very, very lush. Very, very fertile time of year. And so we get quite a tree canopy, and I love that. Looking out over these rolling hills. And glad to be here with you wherever you may be, because we are all here together around the global campfire. And we have come to take the next step forward, and that is the journey through the life of King David. And not to go back through every single detail, but you know, there was the Bathsheba thing. The most horrible thing imaginable the king did. And his household, his family, is never going to be the same because of it. That is kind of what we are bearing witness to. Because we see that David is reigning as king until this happens with Bathsheba. And then the story shifts. And everything that we are reading about is kind of like the disruption in his family. And so his daughter Tamar is raped by his son Amnon, who is subsequently killed by Tamar's full brother Absalom, who is then subsequently exiled to Geshur, to the king of Geshur, way up in the north by the Sea of Galilee, because that's his grandparents, because King David has the princess, or has their daughter as a princess. So he's exiled. All this has happened as a result. Let's continue to watch it unfold. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1 through 15, verse 22. Now Joab, son of Zeruiah, realized that the king longed to see Absalom. So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought from there a wise woman. He told her, "Pretend to be in mourning and put on garments for mourning. Don't anoint yourself with oil. Instead, act like a woman who has been mourning for the dead for some time. Go to the king and speak to him in the following fashion." Then Joab told her what to say. So the Tekoan woman went to the king. She bowed down with her face to the ground in deference to him and said, "Please help me, O king." The king replied to her, "What do you want?" She answered, "I am a widow. My husband is dead. Your servant has two sons. When the two of them got into a fight in the field, there was no one present who could intervene. One of them struck the other and killed him. Now the entire family has risen up against your servant, saying, 'Turn over the one who has struck down his brother, so that we can execute him and avenge the death of his brother whom he killed. In doing so, we will also destroy the heir. They want to extinguish my remaining coal, leaving no one on the face of the earth to carry on the name of my husband.'" Then the king told the woman, "Go to your home. I will give instructions concerning your situation." The Tekoan woman said to the king, "My lord the king, let any blame fall on me and on the house of my father, but let the king and his throne be innocent." The king said, "Bring to me whoever speaks to you, and he won't bother you again." She replied, "In that case, let the king invoke the name of the Lord your God, so that the avenger of blood may not add to the killing. Then they will not destroy my son." He replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, not a single hair of your son's head will fall to the ground." Then the woman said, "Please permit your servant to speak to my lord the king about another matter." He replied, "Tell me." The woman said, "Why have you devised something like this against God's people? When the king speaks in this fashion, he makes himself guilty, for the king has not brought back the one he has banished. Certainly we must die and are like water spilled on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. But God does not take away life. Instead, he devises ways for the banished to be restored. I have now come to speak with my lord the king about this matter, because the people have made me fearful. But your servant said, I will speak to the king. Perhaps the king will do what his female servant asks. Yes, the king may listen and deliver his female servant from the hand of the man who seeks to remove both me and my son from the inheritance God has given us. So your servant said, may the word of my lord the king be my security. For my lord the king is like the angel of God when it comes to deciding between right and wrong. May the Lord your God be with you. The king replied to the woman, don't hide any information from me when I question you. The woman said, let my lord the king speak. The king said, did Joab put you up to all of this? The woman answered, as surely as you live, my lord the king, there is no deviation to the right or to the left from all that my lord the king has said. For your servant Joab gave me instructions. He has put all these words in your servant's mouth. Your servant Joab did this so as to change this situation. But my lord has wisdom like that of the angel of God and knows everything that is happening in the land. Then the king said to Joab, all right, I will do this thing. Go and bring back the young man Absalom. Then Joab bowed down with his face toward the ground and thanked the king. Joab said, today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord the king, because the king has granted the request of your servant. So Joab got up and went to Geshur and brought Absalom back to Jerusalem. But the king said, let him go over to his own house. He may not see my face. So Absalom went over to his own house. He did not see the king's face. Now in all Israel, everyone acknowledged that there was no man as handsome as Absalom. From the soles of his feet to the top of his head, he was perfect in appearance. When he would shave his head, at the end of every year, he used to shave his head, for it grew too long, and he would shave it. He used to weigh the hair of his head at 3 pounds, according to the king's weight. Absalom had 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a very attractive woman. Absalom lived in Jerusalem for 2 years without seeing the king's face. Then Absalom sent a message to Joab asking him to send him to the king. But Joab was not willing to come to him. So he sent a second message to him. But he still was not willing to come. So he said to his servants, look, Joab has a portion of field adjacent to mine, and he has some barley there. Go and set it on fire. So Absalom's servants set Joab's portion of the field on fire. Then Joab got up and came to Absalom's house. He said to him, why did your servants set my portion of field on fire? Absalom said to Joab, look, I sent a message to you saying, come here so that I can send you to the king with this message. Why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me if I were still there. Let me now see the face of the king. If I am at fault, let him put me to death. So Joab went to the king and informed him. The king summoned Absalom and he came to the king. Absalom bowed down before the king with his face toward the ground, and the king kissed him. Sometime later, Absalom managed to acquire a chariot and horses, as well as 50 men to serve as his royal guard. Now, Absalom used to get up early and stand beside the road that led to the city gate. Whenever anyone came by who had a complaint to bring to the king for arbitration, Absalom would call out to him, which city are you from? The person would answer, I, your servant, am from one of the tribes of Israel. Absalom would then say to him, look, your claims are legitimate and appropriate, but there is no representative of the king who will listen to you. Absalom would then say, if only they would make me a judge in the land, Then everyone who had a judicial complaint could come to me, and I would make sure he receives a just settlement. When someone approached to bow before him, Absalom would extend his hand and embrace him and kiss him. Absalom acted this way toward everyone in Israel who came to the king for justice. In this way, Absalom won the loyalty of the citizens of Israel. After 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go and repay my vow that I made to the Lord while I was in Hebron. For I made this vow when I was living in Geshur and Aram. If the Lord really does allow me to return to Jerusalem, I will serve the Lord." The king replied to him, "Go in peace." So Absalom got up and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies through all the tribes of Israel who said, "When you hear the sound of the horn, you may assume that Absalom rules in Hebron." Now 200 men had gone with Absalom from Jerusalem. Since they were invited, they went naively and were unaware of what Absalom was planning. While he was offering sacrifices, Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's advisor, to come from his city, Gilo. The conspiracy was gaining momentum, and the people were starting to side with Absalom. Then a messenger came to David and reported, "The men of Israel are loyal to Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, "Come on, let's escape. Otherwise, no one will be delivered from Absalom. Go immediately, or else he will quickly overtake us and bring disaster on us and kill the city's residents with the sword." The king's servants replied to the king, "We will do whatever the Lord our king decides." So the king and all the members of his royal court set out on foot, though the king left behind 10 concubines to attend to the palace. The king and all the people set out on foot, pausing at a spot some distance away. All his servants were leaving with him, along with all the Keratites, all the Pelatites, and all the Gittites, some 600 men who had come on foot from Gath. They were leaving with the king. Then the king said to Ittai, the Gittite, "Why should you come with us? Go back and stay with the new king, for you are a foreigner and an exile from your own country. It seems as if you arrived just yesterday. Today, should I make you wander around by going with us? I go where I must go, but as for you, go back and take your men with you. May genuine loyal love protect you." But Ittai replied to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king is, whether it means death or life, there I will be as well." So David said to Ittai, "Come along then." So Ittai the Gittite went along, accompanied by all his men and all the dependents who were with him. John 18, 1 through 24. When he had said these things, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley. There was an orchard there, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, the one who betrayed him, knew the place too, because Jesus had met there many times with his disciples. So Judas obtained a squad of soldiers and some officers of the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the orchard with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, because he knew everything that was going to happen to him, came and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They replied, "Jesus, the Nazarene." He told them, "I am he." Now Judas, the one who betrayed him, was standing there with them. So when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they retreated and fell to the ground. Then Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus replied, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, Let these men go. He said this to fulfill the word he had spoken. I have not lost a single one of those whom you gave me. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, pulled it out and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. Now the slave's name was Malchus. But Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? Then the squad of soldiers, with their commanding officer and the officers of the Jewish leaders, arrested Jesus and tied him up. They brought him first to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jewish leaders that it was to their advantage that one man die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed them as they brought Jesus to Annas. Now the other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, and he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter was left standing outside by the door. So the other disciple who was acquainted with the high priest came out and spoke to the slave girl who watched the door and brought Peter inside. The girl, who was the doorkeeper, said to Peter, "You're not one of the man's disciples too, are you?" He replied, "I am not." Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire they had made, warming themselves because it was cold. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. While this was happening, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus replied, "I have spoken publicly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple courts, where all the Jewish people assembled together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said. They know what I said." When Jesus had said this, one of the high priest's officers who stood nearby struck him on the face and said, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus replied, "If I have said something wrong, confirm what is wrong. But if I spoke correctly, why strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still tied up, to Caiaphas, the high priest. Psalm 119, 97 through 112. Mem. Oh, how I love your law. All day long I meditate on it. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for I am always aware of them. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your rules. I am more discerning than those older than I, for I observe your precepts. I stay away from every evil path, so that I might keep your instructions. I do not turn aside from your regulations, for you teach me. Your words are sweeter in my mouth than honey. Your precepts give me discernment. Therefore, I hate all deceitful actions. None. Your word is a lamp to walk by, and a light to illumine my path. I have vowed and solemnly sworn to keep your just regulations. I am suffering terribly. O Lord, revive me with your word. O Lord, please accept the freewill offerings of my praise. Teach me your regulations. My life is in continual danger, but I do not forget your law. The wicked lay a trap for me, but I do not wander from your precepts. I claim your rules as my permanent possession, for they give me joy. I am determined to obey your statutes at all times, to the very end. Proverbs 16, 8 and 9. Better to have a little with righteousness than to have abundant income without justice. A person plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. Okay, so as we can see in 2 Samuel, like, family matters never settled down for King David after the taking of Bathsheba. And this continues to kind of spiral out of control as we move further into the story. David's son Absalom had been in exile for 3 years for killing his brother Amnon. He killed Amnon because Amnon raped his sister and Amnon's half-sister, Tamar. David had allowed the rape of his daughter Tamar to go relatively unpunished, but Absalom didn't. And the result was loss. Absalom lost respect for his father and was sent away from his home. And Tamar, she lost her innocence against her will. And Amnon violently lost his life. David's general Joab created a plan that eventually brought Absalom back to his home in Jerusalem, but for the next 2 years he was not allowed to see the face of the king. So this is 5 years have passed since Absalom and David, father and son, have seen each other. And once they did, Absalom's contempt for his father deepened. So first, Absalom used his good looks, his charm, his status as prince to undermine, to weaken the foundations of his father David. And he did this over the course of 4 years by spending time among the people and making them feel heard and seen. And he won their hearts. And then he asked permission to leave Jerusalem, go to Hebron, where David was originally made king, king of Judah, to go to Hebron to offer a sacrifice to God. So that is the first capital city of David's power. David had no idea what Absalom was planning. But once he got to Hebron, Absalom stirred up a direct rebellion against the king. And it gained momentum because of all the groundwork and all of the undermining that Absalom had been doing. And the news reached Jerusalem. And we watch all the old instincts from all of the vigilance that David had to keep when Saul was alive come back up, and he flees the palace in Jerusalem with most of his government going into exile as there is a coup that seems to be marching forward. And so, I mean, we'll continue the story tomorrow, but it's important to consider the ways in which King David allowed this erosion to take place in his life and family. Because the choices that we make, they matter, they have impact. And they reverberate in really unpredictable ways in our lives, as they do with the king here. When we allow offenses to fester, they become poison within our relationships. And that poison can destroy the bonds that tie us together if there is no repair done. And this is what we see happening to the king and his kingdom. But it's not different for each of us. We will make mistakes. We will fall short, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. And there are consequences, and the aftermath can be utter devastation, profound loss. But in that time of brokenness, we still have to make decisions, like to either draw battle lines and compound the problem, or to own our action and humbly repent. Complete restoration isn't always possible in this broken world. But man, the only path toward it, the only way to give it a chance, is through humility and repentance and the hope of grace. Those are miraculous forces within a relationship. And sometimes they cover a multitude of sins. But humility and repentance is the only shot. Consider David's path as we reflect on our own path today. Rapid repentance, like immediate repair, as quickly as possible, repair the breach in the relationship. This can stave off massive amounts of unnecessary conflict. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Because it really touches so much of everything. The ebb and flow of conflict management in our lives, and the anxiety of just continually being in conflict somewhere with someone. Help us to get to the bottom of all of this. Look at this clearly as you lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, the website where you find out what's going on around here. The app, that's where you find out what's going on around here. And so get connected, be connected, continue to stay connected. Check out the community section. This is a place to connect on the prayer wall. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Sally in Massachusetts, praising the Lord for His amazing grace. This morning I heard our brother Richie, I believe his name is, call in for prayer concerning his marriage and the cycles of behavior that he wants to overcome. And brother, the verse that came to mind is Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And so I would pray that whatever this cycle involves, that you will be able to be forgiving to your wife. Ask the Lord to give you ideas of how to be kind to your wife in forgiveness and in action and in attitude. I thank you, Lord, that you are with this dear brother, and I pray for the wisdom and discernment that he needs. I pray, Lord, that he will be willing to take reproof, as we heard in the proverb this morning, that he will be wise and take the reproof of your word and of any others, Lord, who would speak truth into his life. We pray for the guidance and direction that he needs. And we pray for his wife, for the grace that she needs as well, that together they may walk with you and know you and serve you and be the couple and the parents that they want to be to your glory. And then, Lord, I would lift up our brother Anthony to you, who's buried his daughter, I believe, yesterday. Oh, God, we pray your comforting Holy Spirit to he and his family in this loss, and we pray for your healing power in his life over this cancer. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Becky in Orlando, and I'm just calling because I just heard Anthony's prayer request, and I just wanted to let him know that I am praying for him, and I'm really sorry that you are going through stage 4 prostate and endocrine cancer, and that you have to bury your daughter. So my thoughts and my prayers are with you, and I love my Daily Audio Bible family so much. God bless you guys. Bye.
This is Hands to Heaven. Father God, I lift up our brother Anthony to you, who, while fighting cancer, has had to bury his daughter. Lord, we ask for strength and comfort for him. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how deep the valley or how dark the way that we have to travel on this earth, there is nothing that is out of your reach, beyond the reach of your light. Surround Anthony with your children, Father, and with the prayers of your children. Come alongside him, Father, in such a personal way that your presence is almost palpable. Give him the strength for the decisions he has to make right now, and the grace for the decisions that can wait. Lord, we pray for your healing, not only on his body, but on his heart. In Jesus' name I pray. This is Hands to Heaven. God bless you all.
Good morning, Dub family. It's May 24th, and I heard two requests for prayers from two brothers. One brother is requesting prayers for his marriage, and the other brother is requesting prayers for his stage 4 cancer treatments. So, Father God, I just come before you humbly as your humble servant, Father, and I lift these two men up to your throne of mercy and grace, Father. One gentleman, I know how difficult it is because my husband and I, and his name actually happens to be Richard, we're going through the same thing, and the Lord brought us a wonderful Christian minister to counsel us, and it's been a tremendous help. So, Father God, I am asking that you bring and place a wonderful Christian counselor in their lives, Father, to help them through this journey. It is not easy, but once you learn to put Christ as your focus in your marriage, things tend to work themselves out. And for the gentleman with going through cancer healing, Father God, we lift him up. We ask that you heal. We give him strength and comfort, Father. And let this be a miraculous healing. Let this be a testimony, Father God, to your greatness. Because your promises are faithful. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, we come before you with hearts open to your divine will, trusting completely in the perfect plan you have for each of our lives. We rest in the assurance that all things, even in their mysterious unfolding, work together for our ultimate good and your glory. Strengthen our faith, Father, to walk confidently in your path, knowing you guide our every step. May our lives be a testament to your grace, yielding abundant fruit for the advancement of your kingdom. Help us to embrace both triumphs and trials as opportunities to grow and reflect your light. We offer this prayer, secure in your unfailing love and sovereign purpose. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
This most beautiful day, and I thank you, Father, for the praise reports that have been coming in. Father, we love you. Your ways are much higher than our ways, and sometimes we don't understand the way things turn out, but your understanding is much deeper than ours. And so, Father, for that, we give you praise, honor, and glory that you have us in your hands. Lord, today I pray for Bertha as she has asked for an increase in her faith and in trust. Lord, I ask that you remind her that you are within her, Father God, that you live in her and through her, and that she never has to worry about anything, Father, because you have her in the palms of your hands. Let her lean into you like never before, Father. Let her feel your love as you wrap your arms around her. Father, we pray for Curtis today, Curtis's wife, who had surgery on May 20th. Lord, we pray that that surgery went well. Father, we ask that you completely heal her of breast surgery so that she never has to look back on that again. Lord, we pray also for Karen, who's had 7 surgeries on her leg. Lord, we pray that you touch her, Lord Jesus. Let that have been the last surgery, Father. She needs a miraculous touch from you, Lord Jesus, to heal this leg. And Father, I'm praying today for Rev P. Dog, who has been a pastor for 21 years. And in the past 5 years, he's had 4 different cancers, and every time you've miraculously healed him. And so, Father, I ask that you continue to strengthen him. Father, he says he doesn't know what direction to go. And as I was listening to him, Father, I heard a book. So I don't know, Reverend P. Dog, if you've ever thought about that or not, but maybe it's time to start. All right, everyone, I love each of you.